2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Thank you, Lord, that in your manifold wisdom, you found this way that it's so hard for our human minds to comprehend, that the immortal will come to die for us, that the one who knew no sin will become sin for us, that we who are sinners will become God's righteousness. But Lord, this is the good news of Christmas. This is your gift for us. And Lord, we want to accept it. Holy Spirit, please open people's hearts to see it, to want it, and to grab it. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. Christmas time. I came upon this thing. I don't know if it's true, but if it's true, that will be a very interesting one. It says, last year I replaced all the windows in my house with those expensive double pane energy efficient kind. Yesterday I got a call from the contractor who installed them. He was complaining that the windows had been installed a whole year ago, and I hadn't paid for them yet. So I told him exactly what his fast-talking sales guy had told me last year, namely that in just 1 year these windows will pay for themselves. Hello, I told him. It's been a year. There was only silence at the other end of the line, so I finally just hung up. He hasn't called back, probably too embarrassed about forgetting the guarantee they made me. Bet he won't underestimate my intelligence again. Well, I wish I could be that assertive next time when I'm planning to replace my double glazing at the house. Well, something else that I forgot to mention, next Sunday, you don't want to miss it, because Jamie here will have his testimony. He's been had a discussion with the elders on Wednesday night, so we accepted him for baptism that, God willing, will take place on the 26th of January, and he will give us the story of his life. It's quite an interesting story, and you don't want to miss it. So pray for Jamie, for courage and boldness to stand his first step, to stand for the Lord. A testimony. So, coming back to Christmas. What is this to do with Christmas? Do you love the Christmas season? Now, the adults, deep in your heart, do you love it? Well, why not to love it? Because you're going to receive gifts, yeah? Do I have any other takers who say otherwise about Christmas? Sorry? Parts of it, just the receiving, yeah?
No.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Now we're getting into the hot waters. We all receive gifts at Christmas. And you know, what's not to like about gifts? Because gifts are free. And yet, deep down in our hearts, we are all very cautious. And already I've seen these adverts, don't go into debt for making Christmas presents. And you know, these gifts are indeed free, but actually they are very costly. And it's free for the one that receives it, but it's costly for the one who gives it. And I want to look for the next three Sundays at Christmas through God's eyes, from his point of view, from his perspective. We speak about Jesus who came to die for us, the free gift for us, and it's true. But we should not forget that this gift that is free for us is costly for God. We have all this together. From our perspective, the gift is free. From God's perspective, the gift is costly. From our perspective, salvation is our choice, but from God's perspective, it's His choice, His election, predestination. We work our salvation from our perspective, but from God's point of view, we are already saved. We are to called, from our perspective, to live humbly by denying ourselves, but from God's perspective, we are already exalted and we are reigning in Christ. These are the paradoxes that we have to bring them together. And when you come to Christmas, how can this be costly for God? Because God is so rich. He gives love from His love. He gives goodness from His goodness. He gives riches from His riches, so He's never lacking. And remember, David said, I will not give something to God that will not cost me. In other words, cost means that something changes that person who gives. It will affect in one way or another. It will leave a hole in his pocket if it's about money. It's about possessions. So how can you speak about God, that God, the infinite God, who lacks nothing, it will cost for Him to give His Son for us? Well, there is something very special about God. It is something that it will cost Him. There was a loss for God. There was a suffering for God. And there was something that changed God forever. And I want you to look at Christmas through these eyes of the Holy Spirit. The moment Jesus came into this world, something happened about Him. It was costly. He changed. What did change about Jesus, the Son of God? What did it change about Him? Became a man. These are simple truths, but we need to get them and not to take them for granted. He became a man. And as a man, something else happened. He could bleed. As a man, He could suffer. As a man, He could know what hunger is. But to say, okay, that was for 33 years, and then He went up to heaven. But just think, how did He go back to heaven? Did He go back to heaven the same way He came? He came as God in flesh. And He took the flesh, the human flesh, with Him. And not that He just took it with Him. On that cross, He was pierced for our transgressions. On that cross, His side was pierced. His hands and feet were pierced. And then He rose from the dead, and He comes, and He tries to convince His disciples that He is Christ, that He was crucified, and He was dead. How did He convince them? Sorry? Yes, but how did He prove that He was indeed the one? Because they couldn't believe that He is the one. He hadn't drunk, but something more. His wounds. He didn't come to lecture them. How could you forget? How couldn't you grasp my truths when I told you that I'm about to die and rose from the dead? He showed to Thomas, the doubting Thomas, said, this, touch my wounds and see it for yourself. In other words, Jesus spoke our own language. And you know what is our best language? You know how I know if somebody loves me? When that person is willing to suffer for me, to feel for me, to be in the same boat with me. I can't get and I don't buy lectures from preachers and teachers and counselors who tell me what to do. And they don't take my shoes. And they don't come to feel with me, to bear with me. And that's what Jesus has done. He took a human flesh and was known as a man of suffering. Acquainted with suffering. And the suffering left a print on Him. Only as a human being He knew what this suffering is on Him. And the wounds were there, and Thomas was convinced by the suffering of Jesus that Jesus is the one who rose from the dead. And you know what? In heaven, He says that every eye will see Him, even those who pierce Him. And He looked, it says in Revelation, the one who's glorified in heaven with the glory that He had before the world as a lamb who was slain. Jesus will still bear the scars of His suffering. That much the cost was of Christmas for Jesus Christ. He is never the same. He left a hole on His side. He left holes on His hands. Left holes on His feet. And scars on His brow. And we'll see Him. And He's paid the cost. It's costly. The free gift that we received. From His point of view. God the Father has changed. He was only the Father of only one begotten Son, Jesus Christ. But we looked on Wednesday the good news that now he became the Father of many sons that have been brought to glory. God is not the Father of only one. He has more than one son. He has many sons and daughters. And Holy Spirit, guess what? He's changed as well. The Holy Spirit is not the spirit of sonship only in Jesus to approve that Jesus can say, cry out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit has come because of Jesus' death in his body to dwell in us because Jesus has paid for our sins. And we are bodies in which the Holy Spirit lives. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So something has changed about the Holy Spirit because there's the spirit of sonship in us and sanctifies human bodies since he sanctified the body of Jesus Christ. That's the joy of Christmas. Free for us, costly for God, and we are to appreciate because this cost is infinite. And today we look to the first cost of Christmas. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we can become the righteousness of God and him. Why couldn't God just simply forgive us? Why he had to go at lengths and send Jesus? Why wasn't enough for the prophets to tell us, come and repent and come to God? Why wasn't enough that promise if you humble before God, if you pray and you seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then I will heal you? Why was not enough that promise? Why had to come Jesus in human body? Why Jesus, if he came, why did he have to come in human body? Why couldn't he come the way he came to meet Joshua, the way he met Abraham? Why couldn't he just come in his divine nature and just tell us to repent? Okay, if he came in body and he wanted to see what life is here on earth, why did he have to die for us? Why couldn't just he left just with a sermon on the mount? That would have been enough. And then just say, just repent. Just feel sorry for your sins and God will forgive you. You know why? Because God cannot just simply forgive sin. And for me and for you, it's hard to understand this because if my children ask me for forgiveness, I can forgive them. No problem. But you know why? Because I'm no better than them. I know how I was when I was a child. But it's different with God. God cannot just simply forgive sins. When God said in the Old Testament that we should turn to him, he only forgave us on the basis of what Jesus was about to do on the cross. We are saved and we are forgiven on the basis of what happened 2,000 years ago. And everybody in the Old Testament, they were forgiven on the basis of what was about to happen when Jesus will come to die after they were buried. Everything centers in the cross of Jesus Christ. So why will God simply not be able to forgive sin? Because sin, it's a big offense in the face of a holy God. You know, if somebody came to you and you hear the news that somebody in your family has been robbed, has been hurt, has been molested, and you take your case to the judge, to the court, and you present all this situation, such situation that has happened, and the judge says, you know, I'm a good judge, and you know, I'm just thinking I should ask you to forgive. I forgive the criminal, and I ask you to forgive the same. What would you think about this kind of judge? What do you think about this kind of justice? Would you call that judge good? Not in a million years. A good judge is one that goes beyond mercy and forgiveness. It's one who's concerned for the offended party and tries to do justice. And God has this tension for those of us who've been in Romans. It's the tension of being merciful and loving, but in the same time of being just. And how he can reconcile before God, we have all broken the law of God. We have not put God first on our lives, honored him. Before God, we all have lied. We are liars. Before God, we all have lusted. We are adulterous in heart. Before God, we all hate. We are criminals in his eyes. we have broken his holy law. And God cannot just come and say, I forgive you. It's all forgotten. I bury everything under it. God has to do something about it. Because he is a good God, and a good God means he is just. And this comes where we sang earlier on today, peace and justice kissed. And it happened with a cross. But the cross demands a body. A cross is not a cross if there is not a body to be on the cross. And that's why Jesus comes. And he is laid down on that cross with his body at 33 years old. The punishment that brought us peace, says Isaiah, fell upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. He found a way in his goodness, our God. And he said, why will God go at lengths to send Jesus in human body here on this earth to die for us and to be pierced for our transgressions? It's because he knew who you were and me were. He knew the word that we have before him. Contrary to the thing that we are nothing before God, we are something, something. We are the reasons. Is the song. We are the reasons that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died for the world that was lost. He gave all he could give. It was nothing more. Nothing more to give. To show us the reason to live. Don't make the mistake I made to think that Jesus came and only had 33 years holiday on this earth because his suffering was cosmic for us. It changed him forever. He's never the same. It's the same in character. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. But in his appearance is different. And he saw the world because God created us in his image. And his image is valuable to him. Adam lost that image. Adam lost that privilege of bearing with dignity the image of God. But man never lost the image and the likeness of God. You know, if I have a coin here and you will sit down, lost there, will you just say it's full of germs, full of dirt, I will not take it? You will go for it. You will still grab it because the value is not in the place where the coin is. The value is in the coin itself. And this coin has imprinted images on it, the image of the queen. And every time when God looks at us, he sees his image in us and says, they are my creations. I created them. I made them in my image. But look where they are. They are in dirt. They are in their sins and transgressions, dead there. But they are worth it because my image on them, it's worth it. And that's why he makes the plan and Jesus Christ comes and transforms himself into a man. And he takes us. And with his blood, he's washing us. And he takes us, and something else happens on that cross. He who knew not sin, God made him sin for us so that we can be God's righteousness in him. If you want, this is Jesus, spotless, Lamb of God, without blemish or defect. Nobody could accuse him that he had any, that he has said anything wrong, that he has done anything wrong. Even the accusations for which they crucified him or condemned him to death on the cross were true. He was the King of the Jews. He did claim to be God because he was God. He never blasphemed. But here it's us. We are full of sin, full of dirt. Our heads, our minds, our hands, our feet are running and are doing the bad things, are offending God and are offending one another. Jesus never done anything like that with his own hands and his own feet. He went to declare peace and good news and to heal and to restore, to gather with his hands the sheep of Israel in one flock. But that's how Jesus came. He who knew no sin became sin for us. God placed all our sins on Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him, he took our sins. He bore my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He suffered a Calvary when he died and bled alone. And Jesus then declared, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in that moment, the Father said, turn his face away. Because God could not see that the image of God on the face of his Son was marred by our image of sin. And God turned his face away, and 3 hours was darkness. It was too much for God to bear to see that. But then Jesus went into the grave, and he stood there 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. And on the third day, he came back the same way, came sinless, spotless. He left. Everything that was on him, he left it in the grave. The justice was done. We have been justified. Our sins were paid in full because he cried on the cross, it is finished. I bore in my body the punishment for sin. The wages of sin is death. And instead of us paying for our own sins, he paid in his body for our sins. Him who knew no sin, God made him sin for us. And you know what happened? There is a new hope, because the Bible calls us that we are in Christ. We have been placed in Christ. It is all of God that we are in Christ. And we are to accept Christ. We are to give our lives to Christ. And when we are in Christ, God only sees Christ. Our sins are gone. All that God sees is righteousness. The transaction has been done. In order to have something, you need to pay with something. In order God to have us, he had to pay. In order for God to have us back, restored to his righteousness, he paid with the righteousness of his Son. And he said, do the transaction. And what was the transaction? All we have is sin. Who says he has no sin makes God a liar, we heard this morning. And God says in Isaiah, what was read again this morning, those who are thirsty, come and buy. How do you buy? Because it's all free. Yes, there is a way to buy. You give your poverty. You give your sin. You give your filth. And God accepts it. Because God has to give righteousness. And God says, that's what all it takes. Give me what you have. And I will take it. And the worst we have it, God transformed it to the cross in the best that God has for us. Him who knew no sin, God made him sin for us so that we can be the righteousness of God in him. So what is a transaction? Our sins for God's forgiveness? And I'm saying no. It's our sins for his righteousness. Never forget when you go out of this church. God has not given you just forgiveness of sin. It would have been too much, too less. God has given us the righteousness of his Son. You are clothed and you are dressed in Jesus' righteousness. You have a new definition. You are the righteousness of God. That's how God, from his perspective, sees you. Stand on it, believe it, and walk on it, and declare it. It wasn't cheap. It cost him the only Son. We say it, Jesus only lived 33 years on this earth. But this payment, the cost was cosmic, because our sin was cosmic. And that's why we can say, the guilty one, I go free. No condemnation now, I dread. Can I have, please, this video that may help you maybe understand better than my words exactly what means the transaction and what means that God declares us our righteousness in Jesus and what means that he sees Jesus now in us. Can you dim the lights, please?
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you for being so strong and so healthy. Thank you for risking your life to do this.
You don't know how proud we are of you.
When I knew you were a firefighter, I knew you had the strength to go through this. I had no hesitation. Look at your face. Look at Patrick's face.
Beautiful.
You are beautiful. How do you feel?
Feeling great. He and I both have the same little scar right here.
May I kiss your forehead?
Yeah.
Look at you. Do you mind?
No, I don't mind at all. I'm used to that, I promise you.
The best day of my life is the day David was born. This is the second best day of my life.
God had two best days in his life. When he created Adam, and then when he placed the righteousness of Jesus on us. I hope you understood the video. I'm explaining it again. A mother had one only son, and the son had an accident with a car and died. But they agreed to have his organs donated for others in need. And it was this fireman who lost his face in fire, and his face needed to be reconstructed, but it was beyond repair. So he's the first to have a face transplant. So the face from the only son of the mother was taken and placed on the scarred face of the fireman. And the mother came to see who's the person who got it, the face of his son. And she couldn't help it. She had to see, I still see my Patrick. I still see my son. She couldn't help it but kiss it. What was unlovable, what was unbraceable, God made it possible to be like that. God wasn't just happy, I forgive you, and then turn his back and just be happy you're forgiven. God said, I forgive you, but much more. I'm giving my best. I'm giving my son, not just to die for you, but to live in you and to cover you and to be your life, to be your righteousness, your holiness. And when God looks at us, he doesn't love us for who we are. He loves us for who Jesus is in us. Because the glory goes to Jesus and not to man. That's why you can trust the love of God. That's why you can trust the care of God. That's why you can trust the faithfulness of God. Because God will not deny his son in us. Ever, never. Maximilian Kolbe. Maybe you've heard the story, and I close with this. And Francis Gajonicevic, if I said correctly. Francis was captured by the Gestapo and sentenced to forced labor. He arrived in Auschwitz, 8th of October, 1940. A camp prisoner appeared to have escaped, and the deputy commandant, Fritsch, ordered that 10 other prisoners die by starvation in reprisal. Francis was one of those selected. That's Francis. One of those selected to die among the 10. But then a Franciscan priest, Kolbe, heard of Francis cry out in agony over the fate of his family. And what did he do? He came in and stepped in and said, I don't have family. You have family. I'll go and I'll die instead of you. And to their surprise, the switch was permitted and the punishment met out. After all his cellmates died, Kolb was put to death with an injection of carbolic acid. And this is what Francis, the living one, said. So long as he has breath in his lungs, he said about him, so long as he has breath in his lungs, he will consider it is his duty to tell people about the heroic act of love by Maximilian Kolb. And this man lived This man here lived because of this. Every single year he will go to Auschwitz to pay his honor to this. And I want you to think that we were sentenced to die because of our sins. The punishment that brought us peace fell upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. When we have the breaking of bread here, we come here to remember that somebody else took our place. But you know, the good thing is that unlike Maximilian Kolb, Jesus is not dead anymore. He's alive and well. And he's alive and well and righteous one to live in you and me, so that we can tell others through the power of his righteousness what his righteousness has done to us. And others can know of the love that we have received from Jesus. Now that's Christmas. That's Christmas for Jesus every single day, and that should be Christmas for us every single day. Count the price of Jesus, enjoy the free gift, and give yourselves to others, because others, they need to know that they are worth it. Others need to know that they are so worth it that he stooped down, Jesus, from his heaven to take us to his highest heavens. Thank you, Lord, for the good news that we have because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that this Christmas is much better. This time of the year is much better. Despite all the hurts that come with Christmas and all the memories that may have lost, dear ones, that we lack what others have, help us to see us rich in Christ Jesus. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. Because Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Thank you that Jesus, you loved us so much that you became one with us. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't just come to throw forgiveness to us as alms. But thank you, Lord, that you had more than pity. You had an everlasting love that said, I will love you so much that I want to be bound to you. And you bound yourself by sticking to us with your righteousness, by having Jesus on us and in us and over us. I pray, Lord, that I will appreciate it every day. I pray that my brothers and sisters will appreciate it every day and will grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and will declare your mercies and love to others. Thank you for all you've done in the life of so many in this place. Thank you for what you've done recently in the life of Jamie. I pray, Lord, that many others will follow in his footsteps, and this gospel of the kingdom, good news of eternal life, will be received by many at this Christmas time. We ask your blessing to be it on Saturday here, Lord, and on Sunday and the next days when we meet around this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen.